All right, you guys, so this is a special mini episode of the Lifestylist podcast. Bailey had this idea, and I thought it was a damn good idea. And this is going to be a little, walk back down memory lane to my former life working in the entertainment and fashion industry in Hollyweird, California, and how that eventually led to doing the work that I do now in the wellness space and this podcast, and how those two worlds recently converged at lukestroy.com/merch. So go for it, Bailey.
All right. Well, you know, it's funny. We just recorded a podcast all about addiction and about your past and many dark things about it. I would love to hear about your career back then and how you got into this Hollyweird, as you call it. How did you start your career and what was it like?
Yeah, it was 17 years of my life, which is crazy. I figured that math out at some point because I got sober when I was 26 years old, which was in 1997. And in the late 80s, I guess 89 or so, when I moved to Hollywood, I dated a girl, now a woman, named Kikai Mingus, who is the daughter of a incredible and world-renowned jazz musician named Charles Mingus, who is like the best bass player of all time, to say the least. But when I met Kikai, I was beginning a little, a very short-lived career as a model. And so I went and did this photo shoot for this kind of Hollywood rock and roll clothing brand called Lip Service. And those people that were around in the 80s will know exactly what I'm talking about. Those that won't, don't. But at any rate, I did this modeling job and she was the stylist. And so she was the one that like dressed me. And then she helped me get a couple other gigs and introduced me to a photographer. And as it turned out, the modeling career was very short-lived because I was like a full-blown drug addict rock and roller. And I remember I went to an agent and they said, yeah, you're a pretty good looking kid, but you're going to have to go to the gym and get muscles and cut your hair short. My hair was like halfway down to my ass at the time. And I definitely wasn't going to be building any muscles. Probably would have done great had it been 20 years later when the heroin chic long haired male model look was in, but I missed yeah. that window. Anyway, we dated for a little bit and then of course broke up because I was such a train wreck. And then, you know, stayed in touch here and there over the years between 19 years old and 26 when I got sober. And long story short, when I got sober, she had been living in New York for a long time and worked for Rolling Stone magazine and was styling all these other, you know, fashion editorials and styling celebrities and things like that. And when I got sober, she had just moved back to LA and was really having a moment as a stylist and started working with a lot of bands. So she was styling those late 90s bands like Stone Temple Pilots and a zillion other big bands of that time. And I happened to be homeless, as it were. And she was going on tour with, I think, who was that? Oh, she was going out with Cyndi Lauper, who was supporting Tina Turner. And so she was going to be gone for like 3 months. Yeah, and I had nowhere to live. So she had pity on me and she let me stay in her apartment in Koreatown, which was like the biggest apartment I'd ever seen in my life. You know, I was used to, you know, living in little one room studio shacks in the underbelly of Hollywood. So it was just like this huge gift to be able to stay at her apartment and take care of her dog, Henry. And she went out on tour. Anyway, while she was out on tour, she started having me kind of run errands and things like that. And I became her de facto assistant slash intern, which entailed just sending FedExes out and returning, you know, clothing to stores and kind of running errands for her and things like that. And then when she came back, I went and got a place to live, of course. And shortly after that, she booked Aerosmith as a client. And this was in the late 90s when Aerosmith was having like a huge moment. They had that song, Don't Want to Miss a Thing, was a big single. And they were having this incredible comeback after, of course, being really big in the 70s and then again in the 80s and kind of falling out of favor for a while, but they were huge at this time. And so I was super excited as a kid that grew up in the 70s on Aerosmith. They were like one of my all-time favorite bands. And I started kind of working with her with some other artists and also with Aerosmith. And why that part of the story holds a special place in my heart is not just because Aerosmith is awesome and I was a huge fan as a kid, but part of the reason that they were having such a huge comeback was based on the fact that they had just gotten sober. And they were very publicly sober, and they attributed the, you know, kind of third wind they were having in their career to them all going to rehab and getting their shit together. And so it was doubly exciting for me because I was very concerned at the time with the optics of being sober and how lame I felt that was. And so here I am working for Aerosmith. I remember one day Kikai invited me over to the Sunset Marquee, which is kind of a low-key West Hollywood hotel where a lot of bands stay. I mean, historically from Led Zeppelin forward. And she's like, hey, I'm hanging out with Steven today. It's a day off. If you want to come over and hang out and like talk to him about sobriety and stuff, you know, roll over. So it's not a work day. I go over there and I remember Steven offered me a non-alcoholic beer, which was ill-advised for someone new in recovery. But I felt like if Steven Tyler offers you a non-alcoholic beer, even if it's risky, you don't say no. So I did.
Yeah.
We had some non-alcoholic beers and thus began my life in the fashion industry. And the way it works, I guess, in many industries is once you have kind of a big name like that on your resume and you have that experience, it gives you a great foundation upon which to build. So I went on to continue assisting her as well as a number of other really big stylists in Hollywood, and, you know, worked for everyone from, oh my God, Christina Aguilera to Kanye West, Marilyn Manson, Kim Kardashian. I mean, just literally hundreds of artists over the course of my career, and then eventually went out on my own. Now, the funny thing is that I just fell into that career because I was a musician and I needed a way to pay the bills, and I wasn't doing so being a musician. So when I first got sober, I was a waiter for a little while and could kind of keep it together with that. But when I started assisting these Hollywood stylists and working with celebrities, I was making pretty good money. Back then it was like $250 a day, which was like winning the lottery for me at that point in my life.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of just a gig that I fell into. And for a number of years into that career, I was still playing music. So I would work during the day dressing rock stars. And then at night I would go to my band practice or go play gigs or record and try to be a rock star myself. And over the course of those first few years, I came to realize that it was unlikely I was ever going to achieve the dreams to the degree that I wanted as a musician myself, and that I was doing really well, essentially being a shoeshine boy for the musicians who had made it big time. And so I just kind of, you know, resigned that there were worse ways to make a living. And I started to really enjoy the creativity around just being in the music industry. And I also worked with some actors and actresses here and there, but most of the work I did was in the music industry. So I was styling music videos and tours and magazine shoots and things like that. And eventually just quit playing music and built myself a pretty decent career in that industry. But unlike many people who get into the fashion industry, which is very difficult and competitive, as you might imagine, I never really set out to do it. I just kind of found myself there as fate would have it, and eventually just kind of resigned to the fact that it was a pretty good gig. And for someone who only finished 7 grades in school and had no viable skills or training or any other trade other than playing the bass in a mediocre fashion, I kind of just took the ball and ran with it. And then in 2008, I started a fashion school of my own to teach people how to do what I did, called School of Style, which was acquired last year. I think I talked about it on one of the podcasts. So I ran that school and continued to do styling for a very long time. Now, even though I didn't set out to be in the fashion industry, because frankly, when you're a musician, the fashion industry seems kind of lame and pretentious, and it's just not as gritty as like being a rock and roller. You know, you kind of think of fashion shows and the pretense and all of that involved. I was not so much attracted to that part of it, but I did really enjoy the creativity. And also just getting to work with musicians in a different capacity. So I really enjoyed the creative part of it. And I did some costume design for artists that I would be prepping for tour, like Marilyn Manson, for example. And, you know, I do drawings and source materials and hire people to cut and sew and make patterns. And I really got pretty involved in not only learning how to shop for a look, but also taking part in the creation of garments and things like that, which was super fun. However, as I've talked about before, that particular career wasn't really my calling. And I knew it wasn't my calling, but I didn't really know what else I wanted to do. So in 2016, having been totally obsessed with health and wellness and spirituality for many, many years at that point, I started this podcast, The Lifestylist. And so it's a different kind of creativity, creating content for social media, creating podcasts like this one. I mean, it's definitely a creative outlet, but there was a part of me that still missed, I don't know, creating something that people could wear. And so last year, I started to work on a clothing line, which, you know, really isn't, I won't say like a clothing line, like it's high fashion, but what we would call merch, right? So hoodies, t-shirts, hats, tumblers, you know, that you pour your non-alcoholic drinks into and so on. And I had that idea, like I really want to create something that is representative of the ethos of this podcast so that our tribe of people that listen to this podcast and the people that come on as guests and myself, we kind of have a universal language and we have some core values and interests that are specific to us. So I got the idea to start a clothing line that would be representative of what we're all about here. And so that's what we're looking at for those that are on the video portion of this. Those that are just listening on audio, we'll have to use some creative liberties to see what we're talking about. But I am sharing my screen here, and I'm just going to go over a couple of these designs that I think are either super funny or in some cases kind of meaningful. Before I do that, I'll let you know how these came to be. So I had the idea, I want to create a merch line. I have certain concepts, beliefs, ideas that I think would make cool t-shirts and hoodies and so on. And so I had two different occasions during which I downloaded all of these ideas. One of them was here at the house. I was doing a Lucia Light kind of meditation / breathwork session. It can be quite psychedelic, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. Definitely puts you in an altered state without having to, you know, ingest any kind of substances or anything like that. But I was in this really deep meditation. I started getting all these downloads for ideas for the merch line, just little slogans and memes and things like that. So that was part one. And there was probably like 50 ideas that came to me and I just wrote them all down in a flurry. It was like a classic situation of like, I downloaded these ideas out of the ethers. And then I went and did a session at my friend Yannick's little wellness center in downtown Austin. And he has the Rasha there, which I've done a podcast about before. And the Rasha puts you in a really deep meditative state. And ideally you put on a head mask. You put on an eye mask and you listen to headphones and, you know, you just are in a deep state. But I started getting all these ideas, further ideas on top of the ones that I thought of first for the merch line. And so I resisted writing them down, but I started getting so many of these ideas that would just pop into my awareness that I did get out a notebook and I started writing them all down. So by the end of those two assisted meditation sessions, I guess you could call them, I had something like 100 ideas and took the first 60 of them that I thought were the best and spent many months trying to find a fulfillment company that could do what we call POD or print on demand. At first I was looking for like all organic and, you know, I had all of these guidelines and I couldn't find a company that did what I wanted to do in the way that I wanted to do it. And the only other option would be for me to, you know, get my own garments, have them all printed, keep them at my house and ship them out one by one by myself, by hand, mm-hmm. and have complete quality control, which maybe someday I'll be able to do. I mean, I'd love to create some beautiful, you know, custom tie-dye or organic fabrics. So I had to settle for at least 100% cotton, although the hoodies do have some polyester blends and stuff, which I was able to justify because I don't really wear those on my skin. So the idea was, don't sell anything that I wouldn't use myself. That's my, you know, thing when I promote wellness brands or supplements or any of that. If I don't do it myself, I just won't sell it, won't promote it. So I had to loosen up my guidelines a little bit to find a company that could reliably take orders, build a website, fulfill the orders, handle customer service, and so on. So once I finally landed on someone that I enjoyed working with in that capacity, we launched the site that you're looking at right now. So for those, again, watching the video, I wanted to really capture the attitude and the interests of this podcast. And so all the ideas that I had were really about the lifestyle that we talk about here. So the one you see here is Sungazer, which is right on the homepage, because that's probably my favorite design. My friend Bree, by the way, took all of my ideas, some of which I said, oh, I want this kind of image with it, or I had no idea in some cases. And then she just fired back all of these really incredible designs. So shout out to Bree, who's a partner of my OG friend, Elliot. He has a great brand called Stoned Immaculate, by the way. I'll give them a shout out too. So I just started sending her, you know, these dozens and dozens of ideas, and then she would send me back the graphics. And this one ended up being one of my favorites.
I love
so
that
I
one
go
too.
Through here. Yeah, it's good, right? So then the next one is called Vitamin D's, and it's a kind of a graphic of the sun. Again, an ode to the power and the healing potency of the sun. Another one's called Healed People, Heal People. One of my favorite spiritual axioms is that hurt people hurt people. Well, I've discovered that the inverse is also true, that healed people have a reverberating energy of healing power and love when they do the work on themselves. So that one was indicative of that principle. And then there's one that says breath work, sauna, ice bath, repeat. And I couldn't figure out the right order for those because I do those in all different order. We stuck with that. There's a conspiracy theorist design with theorist crossed out, and it says analyst, conspiracy analyst. There's also one that says conspiracy theorist crossed out, and it says pattern recognitionist. Let me see. There's one of my classics here, which is a red like MAGA hat, and also on shirt says make milk raw again. Another one of my favorites is microdosing reality. It's got some little pictures of Amanita mushrooms on it. And to me, that means just having a temperate relationship with reality and taking it very slowly as it comes, because life can be so overwhelming. Mm. There's another one with a little skeleton with two big middle fingers pointed up. He's sitting in a lotus position, says, I have PSYOP immunity, because there's so many PSYOPs in the world right now. I think we would be very well served to learn how to just ignore the PSYOPs and work on ourselves and our lives. And then one of my favorites, which is not my idea, unfortunately, because it's so good. It's the DARE, the 80s, you know, DARE, don't do drugs and drink or whatever. It says DARE, drink ayahuasca, remember everything. And that was a shirt that I got years ago when I went to Rhythmia in Costa Rica and drank ayahuasca. And they gave me one of those. And I asked them, hey, can I copy this? Because I really love this freaking shirt because it's just so true. It really does help one to remember everything. And they're like, yeah, go nuts. There's another one that says, I manifested this t-shirt and I'm only getting started. It's got a little crystal ball. Then this one says, I'm current, because I'm real big on reincarnation. You know, I don't know. It just is the thing. This one says, currently enjoying incarnation 34,356,800. You know, this is a long ass number. Uh-huh. And then this might be the cutest one, emotionally available, with a little dancing bear, like a little Grateful Dead bear with a little, a kind of rainbow around him. And I think that's like a celebration of some of the progress that I've made, of being able to be in relation with people and be authentic and vulnerable and be emotionally present. One of my favorite sayings here is, don't believe everything you think. That's like life advice for everyone. It's got a picture mm-hmm. of a brain on there. And then this one, you know, some of them are in the kind of conspiratorial realm, as is this one here. It says, this is climate change. And it has a picture of a giant 5G tower with a bunch of chemtrails behind it. So I really believe in getting that message out. And then there's one called, it's the BUFO one. What does it say on it? It says BUFO, the toad less traveled. that's one of my favorites that Bree made. Yeah, I was like, I don't know, I want to do something with the toad, because the toad has just, you know, helped me in my life so much. And there's another classic, meditation is my medication. It's got pictures of little pharmaceutical capsules, but they have little ohm signs on them and stuff, mm-hmm. which is kind of fun. And it's actually very true. I mean, meditation is my medication. I would be absolutely insane without it. We've got a cap that says Run DMT with the Run DMC. logo on it. There's a tumbler for drinks that says "Don't spike my proteins," and it has a little like red beer cup. You know, like at keggers in high school, you have a little red cup.
Solo cup.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
Solo cup. Yep.
Solo cup. Don't spike my proteins. Some of us know what that means. Oh man, here's another classic. 5 G's, not 5G. And in the 5 G's, it has little mushrooms. And then the 5G is, of course, a cell tower. That one, there's two designs of that because I just love that saying so much. And then let me see. There's another one with the namaste hands. It says, "Namaste out of this drama," which I think is pretty good, especially in light of what's going on in the world the past few years. This is one that's probably going to be out of vogue fairly fast because we're going to forget about it. It says, "I survived the plandemic and all I got was this stupid t-shirt," and has two little goofy masks on it. And let's see what else. I'm going to pick out a couple of my other favorites here because I don't want to go on and on, but I love reflecting on these and looking at them because Bree did such a great job in the designs, and I think they're just some cool slogans. There's one that says, "Currently macro dosing, please be patient." We all know what that means. For my EMF fans, "Why fry free zone?" with the circle crossing out the Wi-Fi signal as a reminder that we can live life without Wi-Fi most of the time if we choose so. Another one says, "Trauma free equals drama free." And that is really true. It's been true in my life. The more I've worked on healing my trauma, the less drama I have. So that's a great reminder for all of us, myself included. Now, years ago, there was these shirts, that I used to see in LA, and they said, "Jesus is my homeboy." And it was like in Cholo writing. And I kind of took a nod, gave a nod to that. And I have "Shiva is my homeboy" with a picture of Shiva. That one's pretty good. And then let's see, next we've got, I'm kind of scrolling through here, and they show every single garment in every color.
Tie-dye ones.
Yeah, we got tie-dye in all different colors, you know, and all different cuts too. I'm like, for those that are watching the screen share, I'm looking at the men's ones, but there's, you know, ladies' tank tops and stuff like that. I mean, I definitely wanted to make sure we had something other than boxy t-shirts for the ladies. Now, this one's kind of dark, I'm going to admit. It says, "Just because we're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after us." And it's got a Freemason symbol. I posted that the other day and someone DM'd me and they're like, "Bro, are you a Freemason?" I'm like, "No, this is a warning."
Come on.
And again, not that all, you know, there's levels to everything, right? So I'm sure they're, you know, my grandpa was a Freemason and he wasn't doing anything weird. He just went down to the club and like drank beers with his Freemason buddies. I don't think he was doing anything nefarious. So I'm not trying to diss every Freemason, but we know that many of the world leaders that have been rather naughty characters have, of course, been Freemasons. This is a good one. This says, "Not for sale, currently under soul contract." And that is a commitment to one's integrity, however they see fit. In other words, like, I refuse to sell out. This one's great. This one, first we had it with a little body floating up and it felt a little morbid. So now it has kind of a little sunshine rainbow looking emblem. It says, "I don't have a soul, I am a soul." Which again is in alignment with what we talk about here on the show, is really getting in touch with your higher self. And that's a way that people can let everyone else know that's what they're up to. Let me see if any other real hits pop out at me here. And then we'll wrap up this mini episode. But I'm so glad you had this idea because it's like, I don't think a lot of people are aware that we've created this, and I just think they're so dope. Of course, I'm very biased, but they're like inexpensive. Yeah. It's not like I'm going to become a millionaire from selling t-shirts or something. That wasn't my intention. They're cheap. They're like $21, $34. It's like whatever. It's just fun. It's a fun way for us to like share, you know, our ideas and values, I guess.
Well, there's also a value, I think, to, you know, like you were saying, let your freak flag fly. But also, it reminds me of this story that John told me, the person who actually introduced us and got you to lend me your ear in order for me to convince you to hire me. But he talked about being at Whole Foods. He was wearing this shirt. He runs into this kid who recognizes the shirt as a blue light blocking glasses, basically, brand. And the kid introduced himself to him, and that ended up being Matt Maruca's best friend. So the only reason that John was introduced to Matt Maruca, later became the operations manager of Raw Optics and ended up hiring me as their affiliate manager, was because of this shirt that he was wearing. So use it as a way to connect with like-minded people. I mean, we're all, you know, there are symbols everywhere. And so if we're broadcasting symbols that are aligned with us, then we're just making it more likely that we'll get to meet the right people.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's one of the things that I've always liked about expressing oneself with what you wear, right? It's a way, it's a tool of communication. I mean, even if you don't wear a shirt that's got some kind of logo or meme or something on it, still, like, you can kind of tell in a crowd, oh, that person's into spirituality because they have like mala beads on, and this guy over here is wearing a three-piece suit. He's probably into finance. You know, I mean, there's ways that we kind of signal to our community at large what our interests are and what we value. And so, think about a conversation starter, right? You roll into Whole Foods wearing the "This is climate change" with the 5G tower and the chemtrails. It's like, there's going to be a certain type of person that understands what that means. And then there's going to be a person that's like, wait, what does that mean? And then you have an opportunity to share some really valuable information with them. One thing about John Bowers that you mentioned too, that is so fortuitous, because he is also the one that helped me with Matt Maruca, of course, to launch the Gilded blue blocking eyewear brand, the brand I have, Gilded by Luke Story, which you guys can find, incidentally, at gildedbylukestory.com, which has kind of been percolating in the background for a number of years. But same thing with that, I think, actually, as this merch line was, a lot of the blue blocking glasses just weren't that cool. They were kind of embarrassing to wear. Matt's are great. Like, Matt actually has Raw Optics, has good style. But a lot of them were pretty gnarly. Like, I wouldn't really want to wear them in public. I'm not that humble to like wear some like welding goggles out to a dinner or something. So John was very instrumental in helping get Gilded off the ground too. All right, so
mention about Gilded. We are coming out with 4 new frames.
Yes.
Probably the next few weeks, or maybe they'll be dropped already by the time we put this episode out. But yes, we've got 4 new frames coming, 2 for women and 2 for men.
I'm so stoked, and thank you for helping to make that happen. I kind of forget about Gilded, and I remember, oh, we have to roll new stuff out. All right, so this one, this is a youth tee. This one's cute. Buddha is my homeboy. As you can see, I kind of went ham with that theme.
I think
it's fun. I mean, you know, this is one thing to walk around in your mala beads. It's another one to say like, hey, you know, I'm into Buddhism, but I'm having a sense of humor about it at the same time. All right, let me see if there's a couple more that stick out as my favorites as we go through the screen share here, and then we'll wrap up this mini episode. But it's fun. I like kind of celebrating this accomplishment. As you know, we both worked really hard to birth this whole situation into the world. So it's exciting to share with a few people here. And I think it's like I have to go through every color and every variation of everyone to get to the bottom. Oh, this one's pretty good too. I knew there was going to be something in here that I liked. So after the Buddha is my homeboy, there's one that is a descending word grouping that says born again on top. And it says again and again and again.
That's cool looking. I don't remember that one. That's cool.
I like that one. It's a good reminder that, you know, this isn't our first rodeo. Oh yeah, and there's the conspiracy theorist crossed out that says pattern recognitionist. That one's pretty good. So I think that, you know, that term conspiracy theorist has been weaponized against anyone that is capable of critical thinking. And it shouldn't be. It should be, hey, I'm a critical thinker. I know how to objectively analyze events and news and make up my own mind, which I think is really, really healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's one that's kind of funny. It's like the Twitter bio you know, emblem, and it says me for my name, and it says my pronouns are it's a psyop. only certain people will get that one, but I got it. I thought it was kind of clever. And I think that's pretty much it. That brings us to most of my favorites. And now there's just variations of the different hoodies and, you know, caps and things like that. But it's really fun to be able to share that stuff with people. So thanks again for the idea. And for anyone listening, if you want to check that stuff out, you can go to lukestorymerch.com. It's also linked on my regular site, lukestory.com, which, by the way, we are so close to launching finally. And I know many people are going to be excited about this. We are finally launching, after many, many months of building it, a brand new website. And what that means for listeners is that now when you go to my online store, which is, I don't know, got 150 brands that I promote and represent and recommend, all the things that I use in my own life, the store is not only going to be categorized like the old site, but it will now be searchable. And I know this is going to be useful because I get so many messages from people and they say, like, what's the best XYZ vitamin? Or what do you recommend for a water filter? And all those kind of questions that are really common, or EMF. So there's a section for each type of product. And then it is also searchable. So you don't have to like comb through every single product. And even cooler for the podcast listeners is on the main podcast page, there's also a search where you can search a guest name. Because that's another question we get a lot of time, is like, it'll either be, hey, why don't you interview this person? Which, and I've already done it in most cases. The show's been, you know, 550 episodes since 2016 or something. Or someone will be like, hey, I'm looking for that interview you did with so-and-so. I can't find it. And so now you'll be able to go to lukestory.com/podcast, will probably be the link, and just put in the guest name or put in a topic name, and the page will populate with search results with all of that. So it's been, to be honest, quite a grueling process to take 8 years worth of content and migrate it onto a new site without everything breaking along the way. So thank you, Bailey. And if the rest of our team, Design Good or anyone involved, Crate Media, shout out to all the people that have helped make that happen. But it's going to be a super cool upgrade for me, and just what I'm up to in the world now in a more comprehensive way, and also a much cooler user experience for people that visit the site and like don't want to spend all day there and just want to get to what they're looking for. So that'll be coming at you. Maybe pretty close to by this episode coming out, depending on when we put it out. But if the new site isn't up yet, it will be up very soon. So be on the lookout for that. And again, all the merch that we talked about is at lukestorymerch.com. And I'll be rolling out a bunch of new designs probably within the next month or so. We kind of dropped like 15, 20 at a time. And I still have, I don't know, 80 to go or something. So we'll keep popping those out, and look out for those on social media. I'm going to do some videos and photo shoots with them and stuff like that, so that people can see what they look like in real life. But it's super exciting. It's fun to just set a goal, even if it's kind of a small goal, and accomplish it. So 2024 so far is shaping up to be one of those years where some of those goals that have been going for a while come to fruition. So that's what's up over here. And thank you for joining me on this mini episode, Bailey. And I will bid you farewell until we meet again.
All right. Thanks, guys.